Goodness. Hey, Happy New Year, guys. I pray and I hope that you're actually excited for this new year. I sure am. Life is life, right? And I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you and say, you know, everybody's going to be healthy and wealthy in the whole year 2025. But I will tell you this, life is life. And we serve a really good and powerful God who holds our life in his hands. So we can trust him this year. I think that, I just realized this the other day, but this is at least the third year in a row, if not the fourth, where I've gotten to preach the first sermon of the year. And I'm honored by that. And I feel a little bit of significance there. You know what I'm saying? but let's get into it. I want to share, since this is our first communion of 2025, I wanted to share this scripture out of 1 Corinthians 11. 27 through 32. So whoever therefore eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. I shared that because I truly know this for a fact. And this is what I love about the God that we serve. He has not called us to perfection. Okay? But it is our direction and the direction of our affection. That's what he's concerned about. So I know all of us blew it at least a little bit or a lot of it last year compared to a holy, righteous, perfect God. Amen. So I thought we could just take a moment before we take communion to repent of that. And I'll pray for us. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before you today, Lord, with such gratefulness of your faithfulness to us, this church, this body, how you've never left us nor forsaken us. And you've stood with us the whole time through all of it, God. But this year, Father, let His Place Church be a church of unity, be a church that is passionately driven towards you, and be a church where we acknowledge the idols that we have sought to seek comfort when we should have sought you, and we lay them down together. God, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that will enable us and give us the strength to do these things. The knowledge of your word that literally renews our mind into a new mind that doesn't want those idols anymore. So God, we repent. We repent of those things that we sought comfort in when we should have sought you. And we ask you today, we thank you for your forgiveness and we ask you to help us and draw us deeper into you, Jesus, because it's all about you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that was shed, your body that was broken, that we commune today. Lord, I pray that if we're not just eating bread or drinking juice. God, we are taking you in today. So we take you in with a fresh new year ahead of us. God, fill us with a fresh new fire to seek the things that are of you. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," thank you, Lord, "he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus, we thank you again for your perfect life, your sacrifice, and that you rose from the dead and you're alive today. Thank you that we can take you in and you can turn sinners into saints. People that didn't deserve heaven at all now get to partake in the heavenlies. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title for my series is Check Up from the Heart Up. And it really goes along with even our communion. I just got the communion ready yesterday morning and realized that it was kind of just hand in hand with what we're doing here. Another year has come and gone. To look back and see what we did wrong and what we did right is good. Making adjustments in our life to better ourselves is important. But before losing the unwanted holiday weight and making more money this year than we did last year, we should do an inventory of our spiritual life. How is your walk with Jesus going? Honestly. Today, the first sermon of 2025, I thought we could check ourselves with the Holy Scriptures. After all, Jesus is the Word of God who was made flesh, led a perfect life in thought, word, and deed, only to lay it down on the cross on our behalf, so that all who obey him and truly love him can have eternal life. Why? Because he rose from the dead. God the Father accepted the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for all sin and made him the firstborn into the new life. Jesus ascended back to glory at the right hand of the Father until he comes back again to judge the earth and every human that's ever existed. Pretty great, huh? Yes, it is. However, Jesus and his apostles said some pretty heavy stuff directed to his church. Warnings and specific instructions for his people to meditate on and obey. This is not about perfection. Like I said before, it's about the direction of our affection. I pray today convicts you as much as it has convicted me to prepare. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling instead of cheap grace living. The grace of God is meant to bring us to repentance. It's not a free ride to sin or a license to grieve the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, Paul shares with us chapter 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? The Messiah lives in you. So examine yourself, test yourself to see where you're at. Unless indeed you fail to meet the test." We're going to go through and look at the things Jesus says, at the things that his apostles said, anointed by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, to do that, to examine ourselves. Because again, it's not about being perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I'm going to share with you how not perfect I am today up here. Because I don't want you to think this is some bar that you'll never reach. That bar of holiness that you just can't ever quite get to. It's a real holiness. It's a real journey with God. It's not a fake one. And it won't be perfect. But there should be progress. And there will be victories. You will notice a transformation in your life. Because to truly be born again means you've been transformed. Things are different. If they're the same way they've always been, maybe you're not born again yet. And that's something that, you know, you need to be honest with and look at. We'll start with Deuteronomy, all the way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5, the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Can you look back at 2024 and say, I did that? I loved him with all my heart, all my soul, and all my might. Not perfectly, but all that I had. That's the first check mark. The first, could I have done better? Did I really seek him? Or did I just play church last year? The word for love here is Ahab, the original Hebrew word, and it's to be a lover, a romantic love, a covenant loyalty love, like a marriage that's supposed to be. If you're not married or you haven't never been married, have you ever been in love? Where you were just giddy. You thought about him all the time. You wanted to call him. How you doing? I know I just called you 5 minutes ago. I just want to know what you're doing. I just want to smell your hair. Ahab. A romantic love. And I know, fellas, for some of you, this is kind of difficult. Because we call God a he. There is no slave nor Jew, no Greek, no slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, man or woman in Christ, in God, we are his. You're okay to be romantically in love with your creator. Doesn't make you weird or gay or whatever your mind wants to tell you. I'm just being real. Why? Because I've been there. I know. But it's a romantic love that you can be excited for when you wake up. Here I am, God. Another day, God, with you. You and me. Whatever life brings us today, you're with me. Thank you. The word for heart is lebab, and I might be butchering the pronunciations, but I think the description of the word's better than actually getting it right, okay? Lebab, the inner person, the seat of thought or emotion and desire. It's where we think and we desire things. It's, the heart is that seat. That's what he's talking about. And the soul, which is very similar, is nephesh, and it's breath, life, the immaterial part of the person, also the seat of desire and thought. So we're supposed to love God in a romantic way with all of the thoughts and the desires of our heart. And with all your might, that's miyad. It's a really kind of a weird word. It's a capital M with a little bitty E at the top, like, you know how you square something? It's that little two at the top. That's this word. But it's called miod, and it's a marker of a great degree or quantity, a marker of great degree or quantity, exceedingly much strength, with all your strength, the greatest strength you and I can have to seek God and love Him. That is what the first commandment asks for. And again, this is not about perfection. See, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. The Ten Commandments is the law. The Old Testament, the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. So now we can actually obey it. Not perfectly, because His blood covers us and forgives us, right? That's the beautiful thing about grace. But the commandments are still there, that we are still called to obey God and what He says. And He says to love me first, before your family, before your kids, before your neighbor. Love God. He's first. First. Then everybody else. That's the second commandment, right? The phileo love. Actually, what it uses here is the agapeo, which is an active love. It's like agape. It's the love that God has for His Son and His people. It's an active love. It's not just saying I love you. It's showing you. It's picking you up, dusting you off, putting you in new clothes, and walking it out with you so you can stand on your own two feet. Love goes all the way. And God shows us what that looks like. So let's look at John 14. Thomas, the doubter, who said, I'm not believing Jesus is risen from the dead till I see the holes in His hands. And then Jesus showed him the holes in His hands. He said this to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I know a lot of you know this scripture in here, but I wanted to set a foundation. That is only through Christ that because Christ is the way to the Father. Christ is the way to God. He is the truth of God. And He is the life in God. It's all through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, lived here on earth, taught us about the Father's heart for real, that blew the religious folks of that time and blew the Gentile minds of that time. And then He was sacrificed on the cross purposely, on purpose, because He was our sacrifice. Here you go, God. Here's our perfect, unblemished human. We give Him to you. And He said, all right. Boom. Raised from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead because He's God. He rose from the dead. He walked around, showed everybody. I think 500 people saw Him. People wrote it down. They flipped out and wrote it down. And then He ascended to God. He ascended back to the glory He came from. When He was born of a virgin, He went back to glory. The firstborn into the new life, showing us He's the way. Amen? Luke 9, Jesus is talking to everyone, okay? And it's because it says Luke 9, 23 through 25. And He said to all. So He's talking to His true disciples. He's talking to the people who just wanted to be healed and get blessed by Him, but didn't really want to obey Him. They just said they were disciples. You understand? And then other people who were just looking to see what was going on. So He's talking to everybody in the crowd, but I wanted to describe what kind of crowds followed Jesus, because not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is really saved. Okay? Everybody, every sinner on this planet wants to be healed, wants to be blessed. But do we want to obey? Are we willing to be obedient to the word of God. That's called the true disciple. Anyway, he says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross sometimes. Oh, wait, it doesn't say that. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Before I go on, I just want, when it says man, himself, him, it's the word is anthropos, like anthropology is the study of mankind. I'm reading out of the ESV. If you have an NIV, it says men and women, or you know, themselves. But I like to dig. The ESV causes me to dig, so that's what I preach out of. But I want to make that clear, ladies. You're in this with us. It's not just about the guys. It's about us, mankind, together. What is to deny yourself and take up your cross even mean? It means when I roll out of bed, I have to realize that my life is no longer mine because Chris Jones and his ego died on the cross. I am to crucify Chris Jones, his desires, my selfish desires. I am to crucify my ego because dead people don't have egos. And I am to realize, understand when I pop out of that bed that I have been resurrected in Christ. My life is not my own. Your life is no longer your own. It is a life in Christ, so that we must deny ourselves. Like me on the natch, I get annoyed with people really easily. And I used to think that everything that I thought in my mind, you should know about. And that's very dangerous. I don't suggest that at all to anybody. In fact, the more you keep your mouth shut, the better off your life will be. Take your thoughts to God first before you say anything. But that's the denying. But you don't understand what they did to me. Deny yourself. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? What would Jesus do in this moment? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, find out. I think that the American church as a whole, our biggest problem really is knowing Scripture. And it's not because of a religious task, you know, you guys need to read, come on. It's because he said he's the truth. How can I obey a command I don't know? How can I love somebody I don't know? How can I, an egomaniac, deny myself? Like, I have to know who I'm killing myself for. I need to know why I need to die on that cross. I need to know who I'm dying for. That's why. That's why we have Bible studies here. That's why, listen, and if you're scared to read the Bible because you don't understand, get yourself a New Living Translation. It's called NLT. It's so easy to understand. It's a great place to start. Start there. Because you're going to need to know why you're picking up that cross. You're going to need to know why you need to deny those emotions that seem to keep popping up at work, at home, at the store, when somebody cuts you off. Amen? Again, it's not about perfection. It's about the direction of your affection, the direction of your thoughts, the intentional living, we call it. Being intentional with your walk with Christ. Let me ask you, do you pray? First of all, do you pray at all by yourself? How much do you spend time alone with God? Really, honestly. I'm not going to know, you know, you got everybody fooled in the room, but God knows. God knows. And you know. How much time are you really spending with him? Do you read his word and meditate on it daily? That's part of picking up your cross, denying yourself, is renewing your mind in the word daily. Doesn't mean you got to spend 5 hours in the Bible, but it means that you're taking the time, denying your flesh of the new season of whatever, you know, or the football game or whatever. And all that stuff is okay, guys. I'm not saying you can never watch TV again. You can't watch football. We are to enjoy life. And if you have a hobby, enjoy it. But are you purposely, intentionally making time for your creator, the one who created you, the one who died for you, the one who wants to give you your inheritance, which is only found in the word? It's knowledge. It's knowledge brings revelation, and revelation brings transformation. That changes your life. You want to quit getting angry? You're going to have to seek God. I'm one of those people, and I haven't perfected it, but I've seen major progress over the last 10 years. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my wife. That's my beautiful wife. Testify. The man tells the truth. Pray. Now listen, make time for God. It doesn't have to be, it's your program with him. It's whatever works for you, but I suggest you start with at least 5 or 10 minutes, no phone, no TV, no distractions, and you just talk to him. And then sit there and listen to see if he says anything back to you. It's in those times, and in the time in his word, that you begin to recognize his voice. You can tell the difference. You will be able to tell. Once you get to know his voice, you will know that all the other voices are probably lying to you. All the other voices are just your feelings, childhood trauma, you know, your flesh. But oh, that's his voice. Because he'll tell you to do something that lines up with the word. It's always going to be righteous and good and perfect. But we need to learn his voice. Let's go to Colossians 3. I got 30 minutes, baby. Let's go. Okay. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Why? You have died. You're dead. And your life is hidden in Christ with God. Now remember, our purpose here, we are on this planet. So I'm not telling you that you walk around and you're so focused, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying enjoy your life. Be up in the mix of life, but you're constantly aware that your Father's with you, that you're his kid, that when nobody else from the church or anybody that you know is around and you're in the Target parking lot and somebody takes your parking spot, God is there watching you. And you realize that. But you, see, I was talking to the sister this morning. It's about realizing who I am before I have to repent for the guy that I used to be. Does that make sense? It's about being prepared so I don't have to repent. But Christ comes out of me. Peace. Huh? Go ahead. I guess you need it more than me. You know? Boom. Your day's done. It moves on. Why? Because the peace of Christ is in you. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put it to death. It doesn't mean everything just dies when we give our life to Jesus, right? It says put it to death. That means it's going to take an effort on our part. It's going to take intention. It's going to take us participating. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Passion, but it's lust. It's not just having passion for something. It's lustful passion. Evil desire. Covetousness or greediness. Greediness for things, which is idolatry. Those are idols. Those are idols that we are to put to death. We are to put it to death. We ask God, give me the strength, God, continue to keep me with a heart of flesh that when or if I even think about doing those things, or if I do those things, break my heart. Because if you're able to do these things and it doesn't faze you, I'm afraid for your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not God. But I would be scared because it says that that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. People in that are committing sexually immoral acts. Are worshiping idols. You're worshiping another God. Again, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be concerned about that. Please, I'm begging you. Be concerned if you're still watching porn and it doesn't affect you at all. If you're struggling, I get it. I'm a man. I've been through that. I told you guys. I've even been a Christian, so I know that you can love Jesus and struggle with something like that. I'm talking about the person who doesn't even faze them. I would be nervous. But even then, it's something to work on. It's idol worship. You're sinning. It's not okay. It's not okay to be greedy. It's not okay to have evil desires, which, you know, I'll just move on. He describes, on account of all these things, the wrath of God is coming. There will be judgment on account of all these things. But now, and in these, you too once walked when you were living in them. We all did. We were all there. But now, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, or rage. There's a difference. Rage is different than just anger. Anger, rage, malice, which is wickedness, just being mean and evil, slander, gossip, backbiting, and obscene talk from your mouth. Terrible jokes. I'm even going to go as far as saying cuss words, and that's where I want to tell on myself. I'm doing better than I was, but sometimes I play golf. And that stuff slips out. I'm not a man up here telling you that I've got it down. And I truly believe that I'm still saved. I don't think I'm going to hell because I cuss when I golf or whatever. A cuss word slips out every now and then, whatever. But it's something I need to work on. I don't need to, well, you know, I don't watch porn anymore, so. See what I mean? Excuses. Do you want more of Jesus? Or do you want more of this world? Because you can't have them both. And that's why I plead with you, church. This year, I want to prophesy over you that we all go deeper. Privately go deeper with God, so when we get together, we really start to see Him move corporately in this church. It starts at home, though. If we're coming in cold and leaving hot, and then we're cold until the next Sunday, that's a problem. It's a problem. Do not lie to one another. No more lying, guys. Not even the little tiny white ones. Let it convict you. If you still lie, I get it. Stop it. Allow the Holy Spirit, when He convicts you, don't go, well, you know. No, just kidding. So we do. We make excuses. We do. Stop it. Let it convict you. Okay, you know what? That was not true. And if you have to, tell that person, hey, that wasn't true. This is what I meant. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of our Creator. We put off the old self. Deny the old self. Put it off. Nope. It's going to rise up. The flesh will say, what about, you know, let's go this way. No. I spent time with God today. My mind is renewed today. I do not want that. I don't choose that. We will never truly know God if we don't know the Scriptures. He is more than a worship song. He's more than a meme that you cut and paste on social media. He's more than our preconceived ideas about Him. He's more. We will never reach, we can study and learn and study and learn and dig and dig and dig, and we still won't get to the end of who God is. He's magnificently great and unfathomably big, and we should never stop searching, spending time, seeking. Let's continue, verse 12. Put on, then. Put off the old man, put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, split and go to another church. Oh, wait. It doesn't say that. It says, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. You know that this is the place where we come together, and we're people, we're flawed people. So sometimes we hurt each other's feelings. Most of the time, I don't think the other person even knows it because we're so flawed. We all have different childhood traumas we're dealing with. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different families we've grown up in, and we treat each other different. That's why we need to understand that we're a family. And grace givers, and when somebody does sin against you or hurt you, be brave enough to go to them in love. You know, most of us Christians, or let me just say it like this. A lot of us have grown up in a way where somebody hurts us, we put it in a little box and we put it in a tiny little room somewhere in our heart, and then we just move along. And every time we see them, no good, you know. That time she said that to me, so I can't believe she would speak to me like that. Oh, hi. Please, I'm begging you, yeah. I'm begging you, be brave enough to go to them and go, hey, that hurt when this happened, and allow them to respond. And that, you know, I'm praying that they would respond with, hey, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's not what I meant. And if it is, and it goes deeper than that, you can always come to a pastor. We can always work this out. But I would love to see us begin to really love each other right where we're at. We say we do, but I want to really see us become a place where we really are safe. You can be yourself. You really can. And that I'm going to show you grace, like my wife said, and I will show you the same. And above all these things, above all the things of the compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, above all these things, put on love. There's that agape, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We must put on the love of God. We can put it on, which means I have to know if it exists. I mean, we can all say, yes, God loves me, but do you know? Do you know how much he loves you? Put that on, the agape love. As much love as the Father has for the Son and his people. It's love that goes all the way. Remember, God's never given up on you. Never. Look where you are. We're not where we want to be or we're going to be, but we sure are not where we were. Amen? Amen? That is something that we can be grateful for. Let's move on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. Paul is, you know, wrote the church in Ephesus, and he says, Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't walk like they do out in the world, in the futility of their minds. And that word is meteotis or meteotes. It means emptiness and frustration. Do not walk like the Gentiles do in their emptiness and the frustration of their spiritually dead minds, because they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of what? Ignorance. The ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. I know that many of us, and I hope you have some unsaved friends. I really do, because you're a light in the darkness. But do not let them affect you. Don't begin to take on their thoughts. I don't ask advice from somebody that doesn't love Christ. Not about life stuff. I have friends. I do. I got friends that I love that are not Christians. I really do. And they're great people, by the way. But they are darkened in the things of God, in the things of Christ. They're darkened in their minds, and they have a hardened heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. They're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Listen, look at that. That is not the way you learned Christ. We must learn him. It's about learning who he is, who we are in him. We must learn his ways. assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. If you haven't been taught in Jesus, I get it. Welcome. Stick around. We have great Bible studies here. We have great sermons here on Sunday. Stick around and learn Christ, because the truth will set you free. Jesus will truly set you free. He heals childhood trauma. And we all know that's some deep, deep trauma. It's really hard to change something that you were affected by and jarred by when you were a kid. Those roots go deep. God can heal you. God can heal you from whatever trauma that you've experienced. Again, it's not going to stop bad things from happening to us here in this world, but he's given us eternal life so we can always live with the hope of that. The truth is in Jesus. So put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see how Paul even just repeated himself, basically. Colossians and Ephesians, he basically said the same thing. Put off the old guy, put on the new guy. You don't need to walk like other people. You're different than other people. You are a child of God that has an inheritance. Yes, you're human. That makes us all the same. But there is an inheritance that is in these pages that came from the law and the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself. This is the living word of God that has lasted thousands and thousands of years and continues to break chains, continues to heal the mind, body, and soul, continues to bring salvation to mankind. There's no reason for you to be scared of this book. And it's just, you just dive in. And like I said, get yourself a New Living Translation. It's the easiest version. A New Living Translation. You will start to understand the scriptures. And you will start to be set free in areas where you never thought you would. I'm on the natch. My wife can attest to this. I'm a passionate guy. So I get my feelings hurt really easy. And I can flip out on people. For a lot of my life, I had very little self-control. I'm just saying, for a man of my passion level that has, you know, lived the life that I live, to have self-control right now is amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, babe. I'm preaching. Hang on. I love you, babe. You will be healed. It might take time. Sure. How much time are we spending with him, though? That's where it happens. It happens by spending time with him. Really understanding, oh, self-control is a gift. Okay? And if I just come out of the presence of God, I'm much less likely to be angry. Right? There's peace. I know he's in control. I know he owns it all. So whether I win or lose, stay or go, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's freedom. Okay, yeah, I read that. Okay. 2 Peter. I got 5 minutes. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, because of this, now let's look at that. His divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to living life and godliness, a godly life. Everything that we need is found in Jesus. Everything that we need is found in the scripture to live in a successful life that is godly, not perfect, because we're sinners, but better and better, increasingly more like Christ. We've got it. And okay, for this reason, for that very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. I know there's guys that go to the gym here. You know about supplements, right? Supplements enhance the work that you've just done, right? You get a better workout and you get bigger muscles. They're called supplements. Supplement your income with more income that strengthens your income. Supplement your faith. James even said, faith without works is dead faith. So supplement your faith with this: virtue, moral excellence. Be morally conscious of your behavior. Supplement your faith with that. Supplement it with knowledge. Read the word. Get into the word. Know the word. The more you know the word, the more you're going to supplement that faith, that guarantee that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Man, I can do this. I can get through this. I can overcome this. Supplement your faith with self-control. Practice it. It doesn't come by osmosis. You know, we practice. Pray, God help me. I desire that. My mouth flies off the handle. Whatever you, I need you, Holy Spirit. When that happens, convict me. Convict me when I even think of it, before I say it. And if I do say it, convict my heart. Break my heart so that I apologize and I'm ashamed so bad that I change. Self-control with supplement steadfastness or perseverance. Patient perseverance. Patiently hanging on. Patiently waiting for God to move, but you're hanging on. You're doing all these things. You're supplementing your faith with steadfastness. I'm not going to quit. I'm not running back to the world this time. I'm hanging in there with you, God. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm hanging in there. I'm going to stay. Supplement your faith with godliness. That agape love, the holiness. And brotherly affection. Supplement your faith by the phileo, being loving to one another. Even when we disagree, it strengthens your faith to show someone grace. Strengthens your faith to be kind and loving, even to those who don't deserve it. Strengthens you. So I want to say this, and I'm going to close. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Jesus said this. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not done this for you? Have I not done that for you? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Where I say that faith without works is dead, works without a relationship with Christ is also dead. Without your heart really towards God and loving him. I mean, pagans feed the homeless. It's not about what you do. It's about the grace of God alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. If you believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, then there will be evidence in your life to back that up, to convince you of that, by the way. But if you're not yet 100% that he's raised from the dead, I get it. You're in process. But learn about it. Really understand that Jesus is the one who's alive. All the other gods are dead. Muhammad, Buddha, dead. People worship them. They worship dead idols. Christ is alive. He's the one true God. And he says, I know the way, I know the life, and I know the truth because I am it. And now you can know. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Oh, let me say seven things before, I'm only 1 minute over. Seven things I want you to do this year in 2025. Study the word to understand it. Pray daily and often, and at least one of those times with no distractions. Fight against your old nature. Stop making excuses. Embrace your new nature in Christ. Acknowledge and care for others, even when you don't agree. Enjoy life. Work hard and play, but do it with Christ. And don't ever give up. Keep going one day at a time. Amen. All right. Well, Father God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for another year. And God, bring us together. Bring us into unity in our homes, together in this church with you personally, God. I pray you draw us all deeper this year, God. May His Place Church go deeper in you, Jesus. We love you. We bless you. And I just pray your highest and best blessing over your people this year, their families, their homes, and their lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Happy New Year.